The text for today's sermon is the reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll reflect on all the verses 16 through 24. To begin, I reread verse 16. Rejoice always. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The bit of German that I know is rusty, so if I pronounce this not well, die Grundstimmung des Christen. So, that is a funny phrase, but the commentator that I looked to and found some help from, Dr. Lenski's commentaries, he's a well-known Lutheran New Testament scholar, he used this phrase to express joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. And he said, quote, that trio, that is joy, prayer, and thanksgiving, the trio belongs together, joy, prayer, thanks. These three are well called the Die Grundstimmung des Christen. And I just liked that quote, and I brought that together. But theologically, the teaching is there, and a lot of what he has was just so clear and helpful, I thought, this is really good for us. We want the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and we want that to happen. That God has given us the light, faith in Christ, and we want His Spirit to be active in us. So what does that look like? We know there's things, different topics of spiritual gifts are listed in Scripture, and the Holy Spirit gives those. We also know that there's a list of the fruit of the Spirit, things that happens in all Christians' life. So those things are also to be thought about. But here, as Paul is writing and concluding his letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, he says three things. Very short little phrases, but it is a group of three. And Dr. Lenski uses German word Grundstimmung, this foundation, this way of thinking, this underlying tone of all Christians. What is it? It is to rejoice always. It is to pray without ceasing. Is in everything give thanks. Joy, prayer, give thanks. There is no condition in which we are not supposed to rejoice. There's nothing there. Rejoice if you're happy. No, that's not what it says. Rejoice if you get your first million. No, that's not what it says. Don't rejoice if you're sick. No, that's not what it says. It says, rejoice only, always. No condition is required. No condition is accepted. All conditions are included. One little phrase from 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. As Christians in Christ, we have all that He has. We have all His holiness, His righteousness, His peace, hope eternal, hope now, and it goes into eternity. We have everything it is. And so in that situation in our lives, no matter what's going on, Paul says, keep rejoicing. The second thing, pray without ceasing. I've mentioned this maybe one time in the pulpit since I've been here. I take exception to people saying that's a hyperbole, that's an exaggeration to make a point. No, when Jesus says something, when one of the apostles say something, when the prophets say something, the point is the point. Don't make it bigger or smaller by saying it's an exaggeration. It is just the point. And the point from Paul is pray without ceasing. Now, we're supposed to help our neighbor take care of our responsibilities, so we're not going to be in church continuously praying in that way, kind of in a formal setting. It's not going to be that. But it's going to be in a way that we see their prayers are needed. We're in a mind of prayer. What is praying? Praying is talking to God, talking to Jesus. And we can do that out loud. We can do that quietly. We can do that in our minds and hearts. There's many ways. We can do it in writing. So constantly in that mindset, continue to pray. Rattled me a little bit when the siren went off and we had our prayer, because I dropped my bullets and you saw that. But pray. When you see a situation and hear of a situation, pray. Dr. Lenski had a nice little quote from this in his commentary. The always of Jesus and this ceaselessly equals that we are always to be fit and ready for an approach to God in worshipful praying. The heart which is ever attuned to God as being his child turns to God as well in its secret thoughts as in its many utterances. Thoughts and utterances. Prayer. And he says something there I didn't mention yet. If we are a child, if we're a son or daughter of God, then we can always turn to God, our Heavenly Father, and ask him to help in this situation or to give clarity or answer. We can always ask. I bet at the dinner table when you're just eating, Barrett and Violet and Leland, sometimes you might ask your mom or your dad, oh, by the way, can I do this right at the dinner table? Can we do this? Ask your father and mother. Just like we would ask our mothers and fathers at any point, God says, you can pray. Pray unceasingly. Come to him unceasingly. And the third of that trio, in everything, give thanks. In everything. Again, there's no condition. There's no condition required. All conditions are included. So, give thanks if you're rich, give thanks if you're poor. Give thanks if you're well, give thanks if you're not. Give thanks if it's going well, give thanks if it's a disaster. Give thanks. Because we are in Christ, and he is watching over us. In all things, give thanks. There's so many examples we could see God's people doing this in Scripture. One came to mind, and I have it down there from Acts 5. And they had been in trial. Jesus had risen from the dead. He had ascended into heaven. Now Pentecost had happened, and they're in the process of the very, very early church witnessing and so about. And the chief priests and others were upset with them witnessing about Jesus. And then this part of the reading from Acts 5. And when they had called in the disciples, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Just stop there. They beat them and say, you're not allowed to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Stop it. Just stop it and we'll beat you more. How does it continue? Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name. Rejoicing that people said, you guys are Christians and we don't like you. You're following that Jesus of Nazareth. We don't like you. Thank you for calling me a Christian. You are an unbeliever, and you are calling me a Christian. Thank you. Thank you, God, for making me a light. Can you think of that? They're rejoicing and giving thanks for suffering for the name of Jesus. So what about not suffering for the name of Jesus and still being a light? Thank you, Lord. for allowing us all the activities we did on December 2nd involving Zion. Lighting the tree, participating in the nativity, the live nativity, having the children and the adults, the families down here decorating and things. Thank you. We wouldn't get persecuted for that, but people saw we were doing this as Christians. Thank you, Lord. So, Paul writes these Thessalonians, and he says, look, you are Christians, so rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks and everything. And then he says, this is God's will for you in Christ. I may ask, you may ask in your own lives, I don't know God's will for this or that. Lord, what do you want me to do for this or that? And what does the Holy Spirit say? Okay, first, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That is God's will. Whatever decision we may have to make, whatever situation we have to go through, rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That is the Holy Spirit's work in us. And Paul, when Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, he is speaking about these three things. If we would quench rejoicing, if we would stop praying, if we refuse to give thanks, that is quenching the Spirit. That is going against the will of God. You may or may not buy this car. You may or may not go to a certain doctor or get a certain treatment or start a certain job. But the will of God is to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That is the Holy Spirit working in us. And I have down there, I don't know if you're looking, period. There is no point at which we say, I don't want to rejoice now. I don't want to give thanks now. I don't want to pray now. We may be weak or upset and we may not do it, but it is always the Holy Spirit's work pushing us to say, look how God is taking care of you. Rejoice. Pray. If you need help rejoicing, pray. Give thanks. And Paul adds there in these concluding statements, he says, do not reject or despise prophecy. Now, this prophecy is not kind of the miraculous or direct prophecy that sometimes you see in the spiritual gifts or something like that. This is the ordinary, quote unquote, I have in there, regular preaching and teaching. And it's interesting, too, because this letter was not written just by Paul, but it's written also by Timothy, and excuse me, I think it's also by Silas. Somebody with a Bible can look that up in verse chapter 1, verse 1. So, there's three people contributing to this letter, and the point of not despising or rejecting God's word is the regular teaching and preaching from God's word. Not a special divine thing that might be a spiritual gift. But he says, don't resist God's word. Don't resist the preaching and teaching, which is a prophecy. Prophecy is forthtelling. Prophecy is basically preaching. That is throughout the whole Old Testament. Sometimes the prophecy, the preaching included seeing the foretelling the future, sometimes explaining the past, always explaining God's word. It's always preaching and teaching. So he tells them, so don't resist, don't despise teaching from God's word. And if you think about it, if we don't know God's word well, if we don't pay attention to it, how do we know that we have something to rejoice about? How do we know what to pray about? How do we know what to give thanks about, except that we know from God's word? God's word shapes our lives and shows us. This is what Christ has done for you. Rejoice. These are things in your life. Pray to God. He is your Heavenly Father. And in everything, give thanks. And then he says, now discern When you hear this preaching and teaching, discern what is good, hang on to it, hold fast to it. What is evil, toss out. I have several books in my library, theology books, that I had to read for academics, for my courses. I keep a hold of them. Not because these couple specific books are good, but because they're so bad. I came to class one day, Dr. Akimoto's class, my PhD. I wrote on the cover of it, "This guy is demonic." Right on the book itself. And we were studying the book, you know, a small group, like six or seven of us PhD students. And Dr. Akimoto, this is a seminary in St. Louis, he goes, "Carl, you got to get out more." But they're in my library, and they're references for bad teaching. And I want to keep them as an example of bad teaching and how that theology works. But I did not want my children inheriting these books and thinking that I believed what was in these books. That's why I wrote on those books, "This is bad, this is bad, this is," yeah. And this is Antichrist. But I remember, he is the Antichrist. On these books, or an Antichrist, not the, but an Antichrist. It's bad. I don't really want them in my library. I don't depend on them. I'm not going to teach it, but I do use them as an example for something bad, but I don't want anybody to mistake bad teaching from me. I'll discern bad teaching. I'll hold it over there, but I'm not going to put it forth. Paul says, hold fast to what is good. Anything that, any form of evil, just get rid of it. So, Debbie, maybe we should burn those, I don't know, those books, we'll see. Now, we look at these things from Paul and we say, "Oh, man, I don't always do this. You know, when I'm feeling very, very ill, it's really hard to rejoice. It's maybe hard, easy to pray, but it's hard to rejoice and it's hard to give thanks, but I do pray, so it's, how do I do this?" And we have trouble in this in our lives. As Christians, even though we know we should do this, even though it's so clear here and other places. And here, his closing benediction is so beautiful and powerful for us. His grace and power, his complete holiness, God is going to do it in our lives. I just have it written down, I underlined a couple parts of it. "Now may the God of peace," the God of peace, "himself sanctify you completely." We can't make ourselves holy. We can try to live this way, but we're not going to do it completely. We can't do it. But he will do it completely. He will sanctify you wholly. And then it's so beautiful here, Paul says, "And may your whole spirit and soul and body," the whole person, "be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." When Jesus comes again, God has preserved us, mind, body, and soul, ready for Jesus. God will do it. We're trying, we're praying, we're rejoicing, we're giving thanks, not perfectly, forgiving, getting mixed up in God's word, but Paul says, he will keep you, mind, body, and soul, blameless, ready for Jesus to return. And he says there, concluding, "He who calls you," he's called you, God has called you, "he is faithful, and he will do it." So we rejoice, we pray, we give thanks, hold fast to what is good in preaching and teaching according to God's word, knowing that however successful we might be in our rejoicing and praying and giving thanks, or however unsuccessful we might be, he has called us, and he will keep us blameless and ready for Jesus. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for calling us. Thank you for promising to keep us ready for Jesus to return. And we ask you in our daily lives to help us to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks. Help us to that this would be the ground of our being, that this would be what people know us as. And yet, keep us faithful to your word and keep us reliant upon you, not on how good we might do these three things, but on how good you are, and that we can rely upon you. In your holy name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.